Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson live on your radio. 2-hour bonanza broadcast, to say the least. This is the broadcast for April 1st in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our 2 of 2. Ladies and gentlemen, I started out the first hour. Sam pulls an April Fool's prank on y'all. I kind of made it sound like, hey, God, family, country, life, liberty, property. None of that matters anymore. That was the joke on you. But don't let the joke really be on you when the Satanists try to tell you that lie. Okay? You'll be led straight down to hell and the joke will be on you. You need to realize that God, family, country, life, liberty, and property are the absolute six-word key to success in this life and the life to come. We talked about the fact that we're praying for all of our brothers and sisters in the South and in the Midwest. What tragedy going on there. This life is a test, folks. Remember that. God chastens us because he loves us. And remember that we can either let our hearts get softened and turn to God and have blessings and learn and grow from these experiences, or we can let our hearts get hardened and we can be further from God over time. You have agency, folks. The choice is yours. We're talking about Isaiah today. My people are drawn into captivity because they have no knowledge. Other words of warning is what we're talking about right now from Isaiah, folks. Look, there are big problems. Trusting in allies are unnecessary. Trusting in the arm of flesh makes God Almighty angry. He tells us in the scriptures he's a jealous God. All right? Understand that political leaders and religious leaders will betray us. We must reject these alliances. They will come to naught, says the Bible. Chris?
And trust in your own leaders. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean you don't prepare militarily. You want to have the biggest, baddest military in the whole wide world. That's acceptable. You know, even George Washington, you know, said one of the best. I can't put it word for word. I don't have it in front of me, but he said the most effectual means of preserving peace and prosperity is to have a large military. So nobody picks on you. You know, and even in your own home, you know, I own firearms. I mean, I don't own firearms because I'm a violent, bloodthirsty person. I own firearms because I like peace. If somebody tries to disturb my peace, I want to make sure to let him or her. I mean, in the case of this last school shooting, we know that women are capable of committing violence with firearms now, unfortunately. But I want to let him or her know that, hey, this is a peaceful home, and I'm going to maintain that peace through owning firearms and being willing to exercise my Second Amendment right. Anyway, that was a little tangent we went on. You're right. So the solution, we talked about the righteous King Hezekiah, whose father was an unrighteous King Ahaz, who had literally sacrificed one of his children, or gratefully it wasn't Hezekiah, in a child sacrifice rite that they learned from the heathens. But Hezekiah, his son, was a righteous king. And instead of relying on military might from an ally, which in the case of Jerusalem at this time would have been Egypt and the Pharaoh, he relied on the Lord. And he listened to the words of wisdom from Isaiah, who said, don't worry, the Lord's going to take care of this. And that's exactly what happened. So the warrior king Sennacherib heard a rumor back in his own country about some disturbances. He went back to his own country. He was literally murdered by his two sons, Sennacherib, the great warrior king of the great warrior kingdom, Assyria. And problem solved. And the military kind of dissolved. They started fighting amongst each other. So Jerusalem and the people of Judah did not have to fire a shot. Of course, in their case, it would have been arrows. They did not have to fire an arrow. The Lord literally saved them. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen in every situation. But if we listen to the Lord, we keep his commandments, we do not trust in the arm of flesh, we do not trust in allies, and we don't even trust in our own leaders, especially when they're unrighteous, we will come out well. So the solution, and I will read Isaiah's words in Isaiah 8:13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Again, Isaiah 36:6, lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that's, an example of what we should not do. So don't trust in foreign alliances. Okay. So, and don't worship idols. So that's our next category. Idol worship shall abound. And we're seeing that today. You know, there was a time in my life, Sam, where I would read the Old Testament and I would hear about Ashtaroth, this goddess from, I don't know where she was from, or Molech, or Baal, or all these other heathen gods that Israel off and on would worship during times of unrighteousness. And I thought, gosh, you know, why am I reading about the worship of these idol gods when we don't have them today? You know, Molech is like a museum piece. Ashtaroth is just a reference in the Bible. And then I woke up one day and you know what I realized, Sam? We've got more idol gods than they ever dreamed of having. We have Michael Jordan. We have LeBron James. We have actors, actresses, musical performers, rock bands. And now we even have politicians. You know, we used to, when I was a kid, nobody, you know, really put a whole lot of trust. I mean, they hoped they could, you know, deliver the goods for them in the case of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. But it's only recently that we've treated our politicians, Sam, as rock stars. And that's idolatry. And the first two commandments prohibit us from doing that. Yet we're doing it. I mean, look at how giddy women get. Well, I guess it started with Bill Clinton. I mean, who was it? It was Limbaugh who referred to the titillation gap. You know, I guess that was women who voted for Bill Clinton because of his good looks and charm and their appearance.
I just love it. But we literally worship. So often. I appreciate that, Chris. You're just a gentleman.
But the guy, you know, his hands were dripping with blood, and I believe he was a rapist. He was a womanizer, and, you know, so all their previous democratic so-called values were suspended to facilitate him as their president. Anyway, idol worship shall abound. So in the days of Isaiah, there was a great deal of idol worship. He says, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their fathers have made. Okay, we could talk for hours on this one topic alone. Look at how we, and then I went on about professional athletes. The people that we should uphold, like Dwight and Stephen Hammond in Haney County, and you were a big part of that, Sam. I know you went up there and supported them. And how Cliven and Ammon Bundy in Clark County, Nevada, are going bankrupt. Yet, then these are the people that produce our food, that produce our beef. Yet the people that are on Wheaties, the sports stars that are on Wheaties, the front of Wheaties cereal boxes, you know, they get worshipped and they get millions of dollars. Yet these farmers have to struggle and literally battle against the state and federal authorities to sustain their livelihood. And we don't worship them. They're the ones that produce our food and the ones that endorse our food. You know, like those athletes that we just talked about, they get more money just for having their image, their idolatrous image, put on a cereal box or, you know, in a commercial, you know, or on a billboard along the side of the road or whatever. And we say, oh, yeah, we better buy that product because that athlete or that actress, or in some cases, like I said, politicians, you know, have their image associated with that.
Well, part of our idols are people other than God, for sure. Taylor Swift comes to mind to make the point. I mean, I can keep going on. Donald Trump comes to mind to make the point. You look at the most sexiest man and woman, or most whatever valuable man or woman, VIP in the world or whatever, always comes down to Donald Trump or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or Michelle Obama or whatever, Jill Biden or whatever, all these people always. And it's because of the media. The media has become, to some degree, an idol, too, in America. Wrongfully so, I might clarify. You know what? None of us needs to be rock stars. None of us needs to be priestcraft, you know, look, draw power to ourselves or attention to ourselves like they've done. But oftentimes, even the courts, for example, have become idols. We think that, you know what? All we got to do is take something to the Supreme Court, and by golly, that's the definitive, absolute. No. Look, the court literally doubled down in murder for like 50 years from 1973 till just recently, doubling down, lying about the Constitution, murdering literally 60 plus million of the most innocent among us, the babies, the children. These idols, ladies and gentlemen, can be things and places and people and terms. And what about the term abortion, to give the real, to, what do you want me to do? Just slam that point home, Chris, right?
Yeah. No, you're right as rain on all accounts, Sam. We put so much, and I don't understand. Maybe it's technology. Maybe it's because everybody has several TV and computer screens in their home that their attention is more focused on those colorful, lighted images, you know, rather than the dull notion that there's a God somewhere in heaven that we can't even see.
Is abortion one of our idols, ladies and gentlemen? You love to say a woman can do whatever she wants with her body. Yeet the consequences, literally.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now, the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
It is the power of love that will save us, ladies and gentlemen. Christ-like love and charity. One of the great keys, solutions, answers to the problems we face today. We're talking about Isaiah. The great prophet looks forward to our day. And boy, howdy, it's not pretty. There are solutions, which, of course, we always talk about. But understand, we're talking about now idol worship shall abound. And idol worship eventually leads to not only people worship, but worship of our own bodies, worship of our own creations. I mean, the list just goes on and on. But ladies and gentlemen, eventually it leads to child sacrifice. It leads to abortion, which really are the same thing in modern day. They put these nice terms to make you feel like it's not murder when it is, ladies and gentlemen. And that's really the issue. Idol worship seems to abound to be everywhere around us, Chris.
Yeah, including self-worship. I mean, look at how you know, young people and young teenage men to a degree, you know, they worship their own bodies. And Isaiah, 2,700 years ago, saw this because the same thing was happening in his time. And, you know, like they say, history repeats itself. So we're seeing the repeating of history in terms of, and it's going to sound like I'm picking on young women, which I kind of am, because young women are so obsessively concerned about their appearance, Sam. So the daughters of Zion engage in self-worship. If you look at Isaiah chapter 3, about a third of that chapter talks about the daughters of Zion and how they are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, which are like proud of the proud look, walking and mincing as they go, and it goes on, tinkling their feet. It's like they're exhibiting themselves as a museum piece or as a thing of beauty. And I see that a lot. You know, I work with young people a lot, Sam, as a public educator. And I see women who are upset. I've got two daughters myself. You've got children. I don't want to involve your family necessarily. You know, I've got a daughter who is a professional model who just got back from Atlanta, Georgia, on a modeling assignment. And, you know, she keeps things in perspective. I'm not going to say that she's overly obsessed with her appearance, but she is concerned about her appearance. But there are other women who are just literally obsessed with it. So Isaiah saw these women during his time, and I'm sure he knew that this was going to happen in our time. He goes on to say, in that day, and usually, Sam, I don't know if you know this, I think you do, when it says in that day, prophets are referring to our time, the latter days, like modern times where we live today. He says, in that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornament. Listen to these body ornamentations that he lists. And it goes on and on and on. Their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tires. And a lot of these, I don't even know what they are. I do know that they are bodily ornamentations. Round tires like the moon, the chains, the bracelets, the mufflers, the bonnets, the ornaments of the legs, the headbands, the tablets, the earrings, the rings, the nose jewels. I don't think we need to know exactly what these are necessarily. What we do need to know is that young women, especially young men to a degree, you know, you got the bling with the gangsta crowd and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you got the gold tooth, buddy.
The gold tooth. I mean, they're literally people who extract their teeth.
But remember, when we talk about scripture, these people are prophets looking ahead, and sometimes they don't use the same terms for something as we might. Also, Chris, so maybe some of these terms you don't understand, but no doubt this jewelry that we're talking about, this obsession with and excessive use of jewelry on the body to adorn and to worship the body, if you will, is the point here, right?
It is the point. And it's not so bad in and of itself. What the thing about it, Sam, is it focuses your refocuses your shift away from what we should be focused on. The Lord's kingdom, and it focuses on oneself, and we become idol worshipers of ourselves. And you may be an attractive young lady. Great. Look to God and thank God for that beautiful gift that he has given you that you can use to build his kingdom. And but we don't. We use it for self-aggrandizement and to worship ourselves and to try to get other people to worship us, in the case of actors and, you know, performing artists, singers, in some case, athletes. But the problem is there are consequences to all these actions. When we turn our hearts from God and we turn them on our favorite idols, whether that be ourselves or somebody in the sporting world or in the acting world or in the singing, performing arts world, the consequences, as Isaiah points out in that same chapter, and it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness. I mean, think about these contrasts here. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. Sackcloth appertains to repentance and to sorrow and to lamentation. He goes on, and burning instead of beauty, thy men shall fall by the sword, and they mighty in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. That's a very sad thing. I hope we never see the fulfillment of that, Sam, But I fear that we will. And the way we're going, how we have turned our hearts from God, we've turned towards our favorite idols, which in some cases can be ourselves. And men are just as guilty in some cases. But I think there's a particular propensity on the part of young women, or even middle-aged women for that matter, even old women I've seen who are just obsessively compulsive about their appearance. We need to make sure that our hearts are set upon the Lord and upon building his kingdom, regardless of what endowments of beauty he may have bestowed upon us. Okay, and to wrap
well,
up that,
and,
that
and then,
point.
And then we got to talk about the fruit of that woman, right?
Yes, let's go ahead and talk. Yeah, we
because really the goal is not to be obsessed with one's appearance. The goal is to be a mother, a wife,
yes,
a daughter of God Almighty. And when we pervert this way, we become the object of lust, the object of sin. And we pretend as feminists, women in modern society, that that's not what they're after. But everything they do coaxes that out of men. Now, I'm not saying that men aren't responsible too. I'm just saying you cannot do all those things and then wonder why it goes all carnal, why it goes all sexual, why it goes all, because that's what you've fostered and promoted. And both sides have done it, male and female, by the way. I'm not attacking the women with this, but I'm saying, look, do you want to be a mother, a respectable woman? Do you want to be the hand that rocks the cradle, that actually rules the world in a real sense? Or do you want to be the woman that basically coaxes lust out of everyone around you? Now, some may be righteous enough not to worship at that altar, but the fact is what is your heart, your mind, your soul set on, and what actions and thoughts and behaviors do you do, and what does it downstream generate? You really got to ask. Now, I know the feminists are going to just attack me relentlessly for putting it on the kitchen table like that, but I got to do it because it's the truth, Chris.
Yes, it is the truth. And as you pointed out, Sam, you know, everything we have is a gift from God, and we should be willing to give back at least a portion of that to him in the form of our actions, in the form of our thoughts, in the form of our desires. And the feminist movement has told women within our lifetimes, when the feminist movement really started to get traction in the early 70s, so that's slightly, you know, after we were born in the late 60s, mid-60s, they told us that, you know, our bodies are there for our own self-pleasure. And, you know, babies get in the way of that, you know, getting pregnant, you know, in our pursuit of pleasure, you know, we have to have abortion. That's why Roe versus Wade was passed in the early 70s when that movement was just starting to get traction. Instead of passing on those beautiful traits that God has endowed these women with to the next generation and giving them the blessings of life, giving them the blessings of beauty, of health, and everything else with which God has endowed those beautiful women with, they pursue after pleasures that will have no meaning after this life. Whereas when we have families like you and I have had with our beautiful wives, then you get that fulfillment, not only in this life, but you can look forward to enjoying the fruit of those righteous acts within the sacred bounds of marriage, of course, not only in this life, but beyond, for eternity, forever and ever. And then our children can reap the benefits of those same blessings by their righteous actions within the sacred bonds of their marriages, and then on and on and on into the eternities. And that's the promise the Lord has made for us. But if we go around thinking, no, children are a burden, they're an obstacle to our self-worship, and we get in our minds that we can just dispose of those human lives before they're born, we get in big trouble. So we'll talk about abortion on the other side of the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are always consequences to our actions. Let's be clear about that. We'll talk about abortion. We'll talk about the child sacrifice link as well. But remember, there are always consequences. Blessings for obedience, the lack thereof for failure to do so.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. Residents in Little Rock, Arkansas are dealing with widespread damage after a large tornado hit the city yesterday. Mayor Frank Scott Jr. says the damage is widespread.
We've all experienced a devastating tornado, which has created a state of emergency for the city of Little Rock, Central Arkansas, and the entire state.
At least three people are reported dead in Arkansas, one in North Little Rock and two in the community of Wynn. Dozens of injuries are also reported. Former President Trump has reportedly been charged with roughly two dozen counts related to business fraud, including felonies. However, the indictment is not expected to be unsealed before Tuesday's court appearance in New York. A lawyer for Trump says he will not be handcuffed when he turns himself in at the courthouse. Governor Hochul is offering to send in the National Guard.
The NYPD expects crowds to grow larger.
Whether you're pro-Trump, anti-Trump, you will be given that freedom to protest peacefully.
Former NYPD Chief of Department Terry Monahan says the department has asked officers of every rank to be in uniform and ready to respond. I'm Dave Collins.
One of the six victims killed in Monday's mass shooting at a school in Nashville was laid to rest yesterday afternoon. 9-year-old Evelyn Dykhouse was described as a beacon of light and hope. Services for the other victims will be held throughout the weekend and next week. Pope Francis is back home from a hospital stay battling bronchitis. He was released from the hospital this morning and is set to deliver the Angelus Prayer tomorrow on Palm Sunday from St. Peter's Square. The NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments coming down to the wire. It's the Final Four today on the men's side. San Diego State and Florida Atlantic meet at 6:09 p.m. Eastern, followed by UConn and Miami at 8:49 Eastern. Sunday's Women's National Championship game between LSU and Iowa set for 3:30 Eastern. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Idol worship oftentimes relate to worshiping our own bodies, ladies and gentlemen, a grievous sin in the sight of God, no doubt about it. But now the offspring, we literally act in sexual ways, then we want to jettison the consequences of our actions, ladies and gentlemen. And then really what we're getting into is the evils of child sacrifice. The old days, they used to do child sacrifice. They couldn't abort them in many cases. But what they would do is they would basically let the baby be born and then create a child sacrifice. We're going close to that now as we move towards later and later and late-term abortions and eventually deliver the baby live and then murder the baby. It's child sacrifice coupled with abortion modern day to make it not sound so bad, tied into the feminist movement to supposedly empower women. It's evil, it's wrong, it's deceptive, ladies and gentlemen. But there are always consequences, Chris, always.
Yeah. There are consequences, and we may not be as ceremonially oriented about child sacrifice because they, you know, they literally had ceremonies. They'd have these huge metallic furnaces that were molten into the shape of their god Molech or Ashtaroth or Baal, Peor, and they would be hollow. They would heat up these metallic furnaces, and the god would have his hands cupped together, you know, like you would hold a small child, I suppose. And once it was heated up sufficiently, they would literally place a living child inside of this idol god's hands that was now red hot, and the child would burn to death. And they thought that that would bring prosperity and good health and all sorts of crazy blessings to the people who sacrificed their firstborn child. How they could get themselves to do that, I do not know. Now today we're a little more
civilized. We do the same things in our own modern way, though. We literally put a baby up on a big screen, a mother, and we literally watch it via ultrasound style, so to speak, and we literally have the doctor, God of our modern day, literally go into the woman and rip the baby apart piece by piece and you know, put the parts in a glass jar and be so careful to preserve what organs they can then sell to the highest bidder, backed by our governments. And okay, we do the same thing. It's just a different delivery is all we're talking about, Chris.
Yeah, maybe we're still getting to the ceremonial aspect of it. And maybe behind the scenes they actually do that. I don't doubt it. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding, as you pointed out, Sam, the result is the same. I mean, we cannot expect God's blessings when we have blood dripping from our hands. Isaiah says, and when ye spread forth your hands, and I assume he means when you pray to God, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Isaiah 1:15. And we have no reason to assume that that scripture wasn't written just as much for our day as it was in Isaiah's time. One more scripture, then we'll talk a little bit more about the grisly practice of abortion, which, by the way, in Utah is legal up until 18 months. He says, Isaiah says, I got my months and weeks mixed up. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers, unquote, Isaiah 121. I'm sure he's referring for the most part to child sacrifice. So yeah, and I looked up some statistics. Roe versus Wade, it's been about a year now, Sam, since Roe versus Wade was overturned, which I literally cheered. I was outside washing windows, and I remember I had somebody helping me, and I went, woohoo, when I heard the news. And I don't know why I did that, because not a whole lot, at least not in the state of Utah, has changed.
You did it because it's an incremental gain. And sadly, conservatives don't acknowledge incremental gains at all. We want the whole ball of wax or nothing, right? But we need to realize that there are incremental gains. And having the Supreme Court reject its pro-death agenda, having the Supreme Court come to its senses and acknowledge constitutional truths is a win. Now, it's not a hollow victory. It's just an incremental victory. It's not enough, Chris.
Right. And we still have blood dripping from our hands. And let's talk about the states that have more blood dripping from their hands than others. So 38 states, abortion is legal. There are some restrictions, like you mentioned, in the state of Utah. It's 18 weeks. So of the 12 states that have outright bans on abortion, 9 are in the South. I thought that was interesting. 9 of the 12. So that's what, 3/4 are in the South. And, those people are supposed to be backwards hillbillies. I don't know.
Remember, that's where, there's the Bible Belt too, Chris.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah, I know. I mean, the way the media treats Southern boys like James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, you'd think that those people, would have their heads in the sand. No, they're more righteous right now. I would say, as a whole, the South is more righteous than the North is. Yeah, that's why I mention it. So we've got Idaho, North Dakota, and West Virginia are the only three northern states, and West Virginia is barely a northern state. And we talked about Utah. And then what about Florida? I thought I'd look up the statistics on abortion for Florida.
Well, Florida's really liberal. They got a great governor there right now, comparatively speaking. But look, Florida was never the bastion of liberty that it's got the rap to be under DeSantis now. Florida's a very liberal state. I don't mean to down the state. I'm just saying you don't have a governor like DeSantis, and very other few stand up. Florida's not that great on a lot of fronts in terms of conservative viewpoints.
Well, and then, of course, I've made this point in the past, Sam. Why doesn't DeSantis invoke the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, which was extended to the states via the 14th Amendment? I don't know if you're familiar with that. Well, you are. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. So why doesn't Governor DeSantis convene a press conference and say, I was reading my Constitution the other day and I came across the Fifth Amendment. And the Fifth Amendment reads as such, No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without process of law. And then he would pose the question to the crowd, isn't abortion a deprivation of life and liberty?
For example, if there's a car wreck and the mother dies, if they can hurry, sometimes they can save the life of the baby. Oftentimes when a murder is committed and a baby is killed too, then they treat the baby as a person. So we have disparities in the law is the point. And all DeSantis needs to do is say flat out in this state, a baby is a person. Okay.
Yeah.
And as a result of that reality, then what does it say again, sir? No person
shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And last time I checked, they don't read little infants their Miranda rights as they're ripping them limb from limb out of their mother's wombs. Miranda rights is not the right term, but, you know, their constitutional rights.
But,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear on this. There's always consequences. There's no doubt about that. You cannot violate God's law or eternal law without the consequences. But there are those who sought in the past, biblically speaking, in Isaiah's time, and those who are seeking this in our day, basically satanic immunity. They are, were, and will be disappointed, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. I would hate to be them. Let's put it that way. And I made sure that when I engaged in the sacred procreative power that I did so within the bonds of marriage. So you never have that problem. I know there are married people that have abortions on occasion, but 99% of the time, as you know, it's because children were conceived outside of the bonds of marriage and it's for convenience purposes, but there will be consequences. And I would hate to be in the same room when those consequences are meted out at the hand of our Heavenly Father at his great judgment bar. I really would. Because those people are going to suffer because they deprived their offspring something that they were not deprived of. People living today were not deprived of life, liberty, or property when they were in their mother's wombs. And how they can do that to their offspring is obviously wrong. It's against the golden rule. Do unto others as others would have others do unto you. So before we point the finger of shame at countries like China, Russia.
By the way, just a reality check on your numbers. The vast majority of women who had abortions in 2020 are unmarried, 86%, while married women, 14%, according to the CDC.
14%? Oh, I said 99. Well, I was way off. See, that's married women, 14%. Well, that shouldn't be. Why?
Yeah, now you can divide it in Republicans and Democrats or conservatives and liberals or red state, blue states, and you could really change that number by a lot. But 14% of murders by married women.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
now,
how
many of those women are married but in a dysfunctional marriage or a troubled marriage is even another discussion, right?
Or they weren't conceived by their husbands in some cases.
Now, that's another whole... Oh, can of worms. Ladies and gentlemen, we will suffer the consequences. Let's be clear about that reality check. You got more in seconds. Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman, you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids, long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Table Live with Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson. We're talking about Isaiah, and we're not talking about necessarily what happened 2,700 years ago. We're talking about what's happening today, because sometimes prophets will be able to see our day and give us warnings, and we have those in the Bible, but it doesn't seem like we have them, because Christians that I know claim to read the Bible, and then I point things out that they didn't know, and they go, oh, yeah, maybe we should be living by those precepts. So we're helping them out. So you, Sam, your listening audience is being helped out. If they didn't know about these verses in Isaiah, they will be getting heaping helping today, won't they? So let's talk about immunity. There are a lot of people who seek satanic immunity. There are literally people running around today, and I can name some. I would assume George Soros is one of them, probably the Rothschild banking family over in the city of London. The Schiffs, the Kuhn Loebs, all the great banking families who think that they're going to escape with impunity with the crimes that they're perpetrating on the American people and on the world at large. Joel Skousen was over at my house about 2 years ago, and we talked about some verses in Isaiah 14, chapter 14. They're very symbolic. They're very poetic in the wording. But Joel Skousen says that he believes that this was how these conspirators are going to feel when they realize that they're not going to be able to get away with their wicked conspiracy. And this is in Isaiah 14. We're going to start with verse 5. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. So it looks like the tables have been turned on the New World Order that are trying to enslave us all and introduce their satanic New World Order. Let's skip to verse 11. This again is in Isaiah chapter 14. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy viols, which is an instrument. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Verse 16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And let's focus on that last expression, that opened not the house of his prisoners. I think, and Joel Skousen would agree with me, that that refers to all these conspirators who are trying to bring about this new world slave nation order. It actually would be a world of slavery, and who think that they're doing us a favor by putting all of us under their thumbs. Those are the people that I believe that Isaiah is referring to when he says that opened not the house of his prisoners. These are the people that will be imprisoned in the bonds of satanic control because of their sins. And they feel, a lot of these people, they obviously have to, because they obviously know that what they're doing is against Christian principles, but they feel, and maybe they've had communications of some sort with Satan, that they will have immunity from their crimes, and they will not.
Yeah, but we know Satan how it lieth. Ends. ladies and gentlemen. They will not, that's for sure. Right now, we seem to be surrounded by demons because we in America, as a nation, turned our backs on God Almighty. And you see the demons going to the Capitol and the Congress and stuff like that, and just howling for pro-death when we start to promote pro-life efforts and stuff like that. These demons literally scream and howl, and they get all crazy and stuff like that. And sadly, in America and around the world, we seem to think that demons occurred and lived and took over people's lives and bodies and stuff in Jesus' time. But in modern times, that doesn't really happen. See, that's a lie. That does happen. There are demons all around us, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to understand the reference that I made at the start of the show when I highlighted, look, this war between good and evil started in heaven. Satan, Lucifer, the son of the morning, if you will, biblically speaking, got in a war with God and got thrust down. Where do you think these demons went, Chris? Where do you think Satan's angels are now, sir?
Well, let me give you a hint. They're disembodied, or they never receive physical bodies. So they could be among us in spirit form, and we wouldn't see them physically with our physical eyes. We might feel their presence. I'll give you an example. My daughter went to this museum in Las Vegas. They called it the Museum of Death, I believe. I may be wrong on that. But in this museum, and this is crazy.
I don't know why you'd go to that, but okay.
No. Out of curiosity, well, she didn't make it through. They had like a room that featured a lot of the artifacts from Jeffrey Dahmer's exploits and from just various mass murderers. They would have different rooms that represented different mass murderers in America, you know, throughout our sordid history of mass murdering. And she really, really felt the presence of evil. She felt nauseous. She basically, and they spent like $50 to get into this stupid museum, Sam. And the spirit of evil was so strong in this museum, and it was run by these demon-possessed
people.
Yeah,
it is called the Museum of Death in Las Vegas, sir. I looked it up.
Yep.
And it's called the Best Museum of Death is what it's actually called.
Yeah. So to answer your question, why would she ever do something like that? I don't know. But she learned her lesson. These demons, they're attracted to people who invite them into their bodies. And I know, I'm not going to mention the name. I may have talked about this. I know I talked about this in a previous show. I literally have a very close member of my family who admitted that I'm not going to refer to the gender because it might narrow it down. But this individual who was a very close member of my family literally shared with me the other day that this individual was possessed with a demon for the majority of my upbringing, and I didn't know it. You know how the demon was able to enter into this person's body? A drug, a psychotic drug that was given to this individual by a very close other relative. And at that point, this individual told me that this individual could look in the mirror, and this individual could literally sense the demon looking back at this individual. Now, I don't know what that means, but I do know this. Demon possession is a very real thing. I was teaching a group of 12-year-olds in a classroom about this because, you know, I don't believe in pulling punches. I believe the kids as young as 12 need to know these things. And another adult came in the room, and the kid said, "What do you think about this demon possession stuff?" And this individual was my age. And he said, "Well, I don't believe that sort of thing happens today." To give you an idea of the state of denial that we are in.
Yeah, it only happens back in Jesus' time there. It doesn't happen now. See, that's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. It happens now. It happens through drugs and medication. It happens through sin. It happens through all kinds of ways. Some people are innocent, and this happens. So let's be clear, it's not always sin or always the bad person per se. Sometimes that happens to innocents when people are abused. Oftentimes, a demon accompanies, not to the fault of the person that's abused, etc. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is hope. When I think about this, though, I think of after a brief respite, the Trump show makes its return. This is just the idolistic nature we're talking about. As long as we embrace all these idols, folks, we will have demons surrounding us. But you know what? Reject the government Israel, the deep state Israel, the Zionist Israel, the Jewish-led Israel on a bender, you know, those who follow Satan. Understand that the righteous Israel that God speaks of biblically will be restored. Let's not let people leave this discussion and think that we just think Israel's bad. None of the fake Israel, the deep state government is bad, but the real godly Israel will be restored per God's direction, Chris. Let's finish on that at least positive note, shall we?
Okay, good, because I was starting to creep myself out a little here, Sam, talking about demons and the Museum of Death and all that. I am a positive individual. I don't like to dwell on the negative because I know, as you often say, Sam, this nation shall endure. This nation shall endure on the foundation of righteousness, on the foundation of constitutional principles, and on the foundation of us reading and taking the scriptures that have been made available to us by our loving Heavenly Father seriously, and not glossing over them and denying that certain things exist and other things that are convenient exist. There is no political savior, as you pointed out. We have one savior. He is Jesus Christ. He lived in the meridian of time. He died for our sins, and he overcame both death and sin so that we, through him, in his name, can be saved from our sins and from the effects of death. But we need to focus all of our attention, all of our efforts, all of our orientation on him to build his kingdom while we're here and while we are living in this probationary period, because that's just what it is. It's a probationary period. What we do in this life will determine how we spend the remainder of eternity. We need to be very careful about the decisions we make in connection with the knowledge that we have received.
And the covenants made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall be realized, ladies and gentlemen. That includes Israel. That includes the 10 tribes. That includes all of God's children who make the choice to obey him. They will all be gathered and brought back. He talks about he spreads his wings to protect us and care for us. He will make good on his covenant promise. Let's make no mistake about that, Chris.
Yeah, and we are either Christians are either literal or spiritual descendants of Abraham, and as such, heirs to those promises that God made to Abraham. We have just as much right to those promises, whether we were born literally into the tribe of Israel or spiritually through baptism. Excuse me, I'm getting choked up. Through the reception of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Whether we are, like I said, it doesn't matter. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and enter into those covenants and ordinances that he has prescribed for us, like baptism and the reception of the Holy Ghost, we have just as much right. We don't have to look to another group of people that claim to be God's chosen and worship them as if they were anybody special. We're all special. But we need to focus are all of our efforts on building God's kingdom while we're here and not be deceived by his counterfeit, by Satan's counterfeits, I should say. Be careful. And there's so many out there. We should not get caught up in political bandwagon appeals to go to this candidate or to support that candidate. It's not about a political candidate. It's about focusing on God, building his kingdom, and being righteous to the end and enduring to the end. There's a reason that Christ said that only he who endures to the end shall be saved, because it's going to get rough. This road we're on, we think it's rough today. It's not going to get any better, Sam, and I don't plan on dying anytime soon. So we either endure to the end or we succumb to the temptation to embrace the new world order, which is coming. And I will not do that.
Amen. Couldn't agree more. We will not deny the Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, wrap it up, buddy.
Yes, sir, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere. Continuing our duty, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. 2 hours of incredible talk radio in the can. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We do believe this nation shall endure. Now, nation doesn't mean government necessarily, folks. Understand, nations can be godly, right? This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate as liberally as you possibly can, please. Every penny will help. God save the Republic.